James chapter number one tonight. James chapter number one. I'm thankful tonight that we serve a living, risen Savior. I'm thankful tonight that He is no longer in the grave. And because He lives, we can live. What a Savior we have. Well, being a church staff member is a two-edged sword. Because when you're excited to preach, that means pastor is not here. Right? So there is good tonight and there is bad tonight. The bad is the pastor's not preaching, obviously. James chapter 1, tonight really is going to be somewhat of a part 2 to pastor's message this morning. So along a very similar line, James is an exciting book. It's a book I'm thankful for. I've preached through it recently with our teenagers. James is where the rubber meets the road. You know, James is where we live on a daily basis. It helps us to evaluate where we are. And it gives us the tools to get to where we need to be. It's been said that James is the New Testament equivalent to the Old Testament book of Proverbs. Proverbs is great. I love that every morning you can open Proverbs and it's as relevant as it possibly can be. It speaks truth to you right now, and James is the same way. My favorite description of the book of James is the fact that it is a beautifully crafted punch in the gut. And that is James to a T. He pulls you in with his eloquence, and then he just knocks you out with a truth bomb. And I just love it. It's so good. But how many times tonight have we needed advice that we did not want to hear? You know what they say about unsolicited advice? And I see it so many times in youth ministry. I see a teenager doing something that they should not do, and I have to step back and go, should I give this advice or should I not give this advice? As a parent, I'm sure you can relate to that. Giving advice that your child does not want to hear, especially as your kids get older and move into adulthood. I'm sure that is a challenge. But James gives us advice tonight that we're not going to want to hear. James is believed to have been the brother of Jesus. He was the pastor of the church of Jerusalem, and he was known as a man of prayer. But tonight he's going to pull no punches. It's relevant and it's helpful for our lives. James chapter 1, verse number 1. The Bible says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. James begins this book of James with a serious topic that is relevant to all of us. It is a topic of trials. In January of 1993, the Galeras volcano in Colombia, South America erupted. A week later, Dr. Fraser Golf was sampling the gas vents in the canyon west of the eruption there. And the guy who was with him jokingly said, "Do you want to see some gold?" Dr. Golf picked up some rocks and cut into those slices. And sure enough, within those slices of rock, there was gold. This was the first time that scientists had ever detected visible gold inside of an active volcano. A year later, the doctor announced that the volcano was spewing more than a pound of gold each day into the atmosphere and 45 pounds of gold per year into the rocks lying in the crater. The magma brought the gold to the surface from a vein of gold at the base of the volcano that was over 10 feet wide. And as the pressure and heat brought the rock to the surface, it also brought the gold to the surface. The pressure of the fiery trials in our lives will bring out the gold in our lives. I did not know that song was going to be sung tonight, and as Brother Tom chose that, he did not know what I was going to be preaching. But I'm thankful for when Job said, "For when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." I'm thankful that God uses difficulties of our lives to bring out precious things in our lives. Can I tell you tonight that you can be a victim of the trial you're facing, or you can be victorious over the trial you're facing? How do you handle trials tonight? Well, tonight we're going to look at a gift, and it's not a gift that we normally think of as a gift. It is a gift called trouble. Let's pray. Lord, we love you today. We're thankful for your love for us. I pray tonight that you would help us to look into your word and compare it to what's in our hearts, Lord. Lord, I pray that you help us to examine ourselves and to be more of what you want us to be. I pray that we would be changed into your image. Lord, we're thankful for your love, your blessings tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. The first truth we're going to see tonight is the reality of our trials. The reality of our trials. Verse number one, James, the servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. He tells us that trials will come into our lives. This happens to young people and old people, poor people and rich people, fat people and skinny people. Everybody has trials in their lives. We all face them. They are a reality that they will come. And we see tonight that they're shared. Some of us hide them better, but all of us will face them. Notice in verse number 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. He does not say if you fall into temptations or troubles or trials is what he's referring to here. He says when you fall into them. Notice up in verse 1, he says to the 12 tribes which are scattered. That refers to these Jewish believers who are in the church at Jerusalem. They've come in for Pentecost and God works in a great way and they stay there. And everything is great and wonderful and thousands are being added into the church. And God is seeing people, or the church is seeing God save people on a daily basis. And it's a place that you would want to be. But then something happens. Trials come. Persecutions begin to come. Difficulties come into this church. Now, if we were in this church, we would look at the situation and say, God, why are you scattering our church? God, why are you dividing these things? God, things are going so well. Why would you do this? But God knew exactly what He was doing. And this church is scattered abroad. They're persecuted. They flee Jerusalem. But along with them, the gospel spreads. Aren't you thankful that during trials that we do not understand, that God blesses? That God moves in ways that we would never see? Believers face trials and unbelievers face trials. Matthew chapter 5 verse 45 says, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. Can I tell you tonight that you are not alone in your trial? How many times do we get the bad news and we feel like nobody's ever faced what we're facing? That this difficulty is just insurmountable, that this thing is impossible to face. Can I tell you tonight that you may feel alone, but you're not alone? I'm thankful tonight that God has given us an amazing church. I'm thankful that when I face difficulties, when hardships come into my life, we don't always want to walk through those doors. But when we do, there's somebody there to say, hey, I'm praying for you. I love you. How is this situation going? I'm thankful for the cards that so many of us have received through difficult times. This card ministry that so many people are doing is a blessing. Us on staff, we've all visited hospital rooms full of stacks of cards. It is amazing to see the care of our church. And I'm thankful tonight that when things do not make sense, when things are not going the way that I would like them to, when things are unexpected, that while trials are shared, that we have a church family and a family of believers who can come alongside of us and encourage us through those trials. John chapter 16, verse 33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Acts chapter 14, verse 22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. There will be trials and there will be tribulations, but understand that you are not alone in your trial. Not only are they shared, we also see the fact that they are sudden. He says, count it all joy when you fall into. I don't know of anybody who falls into anything on purpose. Falls are sudden. You're walking along and everything is good, and next thing you know, you're down. But isn't that how trials come to us? Isn't that how we face these things? Life is wonderful and life is amazing and everything is awesome, and next thing you know, you find yourself that you've fallen and you're in trouble. It's kind of like the commercial that you always see during The Price is Right. Help, I've fallen and I can't get up. That's exactly where we find ourselves many times in life. God, what do I do? God, help me. Trials are sudden. We find ourselves in them. Life is good, and then all of a sudden, life is bad. And many times, it's not even our fault. Count it all joy, he says. And then we see they're diverse. Sickness. Financial. Accidents. Just the general disappointments of life. Tragedies. We don't ask for these things. We do not want these things. But he tells us to count it all joy when we find ourselves in these situations. Understanding that God is doing something in our life. That God is working behind the scenes. That God is working on your behalf. And when you can't see God, and when it feels like He's not within 10 million miles, I'm thankful tonight that our God is always there to help us and to take care of us. The reality of our trials. Number two, we see the opportunity in our trials. The opportunity in our trials. We look at our trials as bad things. But God doesn't always see it that way. Verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Our trials prove us. The trying of your faith, says this. This is the idea that it is a proving ground. It is showing us what is on the inside. If I were to have a cup of water up here tonight and I were to tip it over, what would come out? You're a smart crowd tonight. If I had a cup of grape juice and I tipped it over, what would come out? Brother Vernon, they're sounding better every time. It's amazing. The reality is, when we face difficulties in life, when our life is shaken up, what is inside is what will come out. When you face difficulties, does bitterness come out? How many times do we see people who are facing hardships in times that they do not understand, and they handle it with the sweetest, most precious attitude? It's what's on the inside. He says that our trials prove us. They show what we really are. And he tells us, as Pastor Broyhill preached this morning, to be joyful through those trials. What does he say here? Count it all joy. This word count here is a financial term meaning to evaluate. You know, many times when difficulties come, we stop looking at things in a reasonable way. All of a sudden, we go to the worst. You know the great thing about math? Is it does not matter the emotion that you have when you're adding 2 plus 2. It will always be 5. I'm just Math is math. The answer is always the same if you're doing it right. It does not matter what kind of emotion you have. And he's saying that you step back and look at what God has done in your life. To count it all joy. To add up what God has done in your past. To look at how He's answered prayers on your behalf. To look at the great things He's done in your life. Just to remember all the good things He's done. To remember all the blessings. And to understand that everything is going to be okay. And no matter how bad it is. And no matter how hopeless it seems. And no matter how deep your despair. Can I help you to understand tonight that we can count it all joy. Because our God is always good. And always faithful. And never will fail us. He's telling us here to sit back and to evaluate things the right way. We evaluate the situation. Instead of asking God, why did you send this? Ask this question. God, how do you want to use this trial? I've already referred to it, but Job 23:10. But He knoweth the way that I take. And when He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held His steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of His lips. I have esteemed the words of His mouth more than my necessary food. Job says, God, I don't know why You took everything. God, my children are gone. My health is gone. My possessions are gone. Still have my wife, but she might as well be gone. But God, You're still good. God, I don't know what You're doing. But God, I know that when You're done with me, I'm going to be so much better. May that be our heart. As a Christian, what is the very worst thing that can happen? We lose our life. And then what happens? We go to heaven. Like the old song said, I'm a winner either way. I'm thankful that no matter how bad it gets, I still have God with me. We see here that these trials prove us, but then we also see that they perfect us. Does anybody in here like to work out tonight? Anybody like to work out? I don't see any hands going up, but I'm assuming that somebody... Okay, there we go. Couple hands. Working out is not fun. I go to the YMCA and I work out. And you know what? Right in the middle of that... Listen, don't laugh at me, okay? I go to a cycling class. Okay? Me and Brother Tom. About tipping the bikes over, giving it all we got, you know. Like a gorilla on a tricycle up there. I mean, we're giving it everything we got. Is that me? Man, I'll be just pedaling away, giving it all I got. And the guy up there saying, keep going. Keep going. And when I just want to quit, he'll say, pedal harder. Get those RPMs up a little bit more. And I don't know why, but for some reason I do it. I mean, I'm already about to die. I've already, you know, in the first 3 minutes, drunk my whole 40 ounces of water. And I'm just up there and I'm struggling and it's bad. And Brother Tom's looking over making fun of me and making sounds at me and stuff like that. And I'm giving it all that I've got. And he says, pedal harder. And I think I can't pedal harder, but then I pedal a little bit harder. I'll never forget the first day of doing that. And I stepped out of the YMCA off the curb and my leg went, it went down on me, you know? But you know what? The second time I did it, guess what? It didn't do that. And I'm watching things get better and times go down and mileages go up and all these things happen. Why? Because through the difficulty, I'm getting stronger. And while I'm pushing it, those muscles are tearing a little bit. But then guess what happens? They grow back stronger. Everything gets better. And that's exactly what happens in our life. We see these trials come and these troubles come and these difficulties come. But through each of them, we get stronger and we move forward and we get better. And we see that God perfects us through these things. He says the trying of your faith worketh patience. Man, I hate patience. I don't even like patient people. I'm the kind of guy, maybe you can relate to me, I pull up to a red light and I'm the first one there and I know that I can turn right and not have to stop. I mean, you know, you stop and then you keep going, right? And I'll drive 5 minutes longer than I have to sit there. I just do that. I don't know why. I'm not a patient person. I do not enjoy waiting. And he says, but the trying of your faith worketh patience. People say patience is a virtue. I've always said, but it's not my virtue. It's something I'm not good at. But he says here that he wants to give us patience, endurance. Think of examples of impatience. I think of Abraham. God says, Abraham, you're going to have more descendants than the stars of the sky. Abraham, I'm going to bless you in a way greater than you could ever imagine. But Sarah comes to Abraham and says, you don't have to wait anymore. I've got this handmaiden here. You can have a child. You know we don't have to help God out. And when we're impatient, we make our trial worse. Think of Peter that night. He's with Jesus praying in the garden and these men come to take him. Peter doesn't just wait. Peter does exactly what I would do. He chops off the dude's ear. It's awesome. But what do we find?
Peter wasn't waiting on God.
God tells us here that patience is Him working in our lives. I find that I relate to Peter. I relate to Jacob, who always had to do things his own way instead of letting God work things out. Can I tell you tonight, when difficulties come and hardships come, instead of trying to do it all on our own, God says, stand still and see my salvation. Stand still and understand that I am working on your behalf and everything is going to be okay. We have patience, but then He says that you may be perfect. This word perfect is the idea of maturity. Brought to completion. What is completion? What is it when He says that you may be perfect? To be exactly what God wants us to be. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many. God saved us for a purpose. He saved us to conform us to the image of His Son. He wants us to look a little bit more like Jesus every day. Can I ask you a question? How did that look for Jesus? He goes out and He loves people and He heals people and He does amazing things. And how does it turn out for Him? He's hated. He's mocked. He's murdered. Can I tell you? Our job is to be conformed to the image of Christ. I love Philippians chapter 2. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation and took upon Himself the form of a servant. Just imagine. As the all-knowing Creator of the universe bows in the garden, knowing the pain that He's getting ready to face, knowing that God the Father is getting ready to turn His back on Him, knowing what He's getting ready to endure, and He knelt down and He said, Father, not my will, but Thy will. May it be that that would be our heart. To say, God, I'm Your servant. God, it's not about me. God, if You choose to take my life, You choose to take my life. God, if You choose to heal me, You choose to heal me. God, if You deliver me through this, great, and if not, great. I think of the three Hebrew children. They're threatened with a fiery furnace. And they say, we will not bow. And our God is able to deliver us. And then, three amazing words. But if not. What if God chooses not to heal? What if God chooses not to deliver? Then like the three Hebrew children, we need to determine we're going to obey God anyway. We're going to worship God anyway. And if Jesus went to the cross because it was God's will, we can suffer and we can endure because it's God's will. Our trials prove us. Our trials perfect us. They teach us patience. They build into us maturity. But then, lastly tonight, we see stability through our trials. Look at verse number 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with wind and tossed. Stability through trials. How do we gain that stability? He tells us here through prayer. When was the last time that your first conversation about a difficulty was with God? We like calling people about it. Texting people about it. Put it on social media. When was the last time we went to the God of heaven and said, God, I know You're able. God, I know You can take care of me. He says that God giveth to all men liberally. Politics has ruined that term. He's saying that he will give and give and give some more. Think about my grandparents as a kid. My grandparents did not give me anything conservatively. Think about pulling up to grandma's table for breakfast. And she would put more on my plate than I could ever imagine. I love it. I'm going to see my grandma this week. Maybe she'll fix me breakfast. Who knows? Grandma, if you're listening, I want breakfast on Thursday. Okay? Man, she'd fix this big old plate. Y'all ready to get hungry? Fried sausage. Eggs. She'd put cheese on them. And we would eat grits for breakfast. Anybody ever do that? Eat the grits and the sausage and sometimes a little bacon in there. My granddad, he would take it and he'd mix it all up, put salt and pepper in it. Man, it was good. She'd give me more than I could eat. But I would do my absolute best to eat all of it. Hence this. Which is why I go to the Y. And he says here, if we lack wisdom, if we don't understand why, ask God to help you. And God will pour out His blessings on us liberally. Verse 6, but let him ask in faith. How many times do we pray, but not in faith? You know what I'm thankful for? I'm thankful for the times in my life that I asked without faith, and God helped my unbelief and answered anyway. He says, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with wind and tossed. You ever see people like that? They're here and they're there and they're all over the place. He says that we are to shore ourselves up and to firm ourselves up through prayer and faith, knowing that our God is able to take care of us. In verse 7, we see the focus that we should have, the foundation of our faith and our prayer. For let not that man thinketh that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother, verse 9, of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. He's telling us our focus should not be on our possessions. He's saying God gives us everything we have. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. He's saying God will exalt those people who are poor. He will take away from those people who are rich. And it is God who will do that. Our possessions will not get us through these things. Verse 11, he tells us where else not to focus. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. He's saying we're not promised that we'll live forever. Our riches could be gone tomorrow. 2008, people learned that. Everything is good, and then all of a sudden everything is not good. Life is there, and then life is not there. And then look at verse number 12. Where should our focus be? Who is it that provides the stability in our trials? Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him. He's saying that when my possessions are gone, when maybe even my health is gone, when everybody is around me gone, I have still got somebody to look to. Can I tell you tonight that you may be right in the middle of the trial, but I want to encourage you today to let God use that trial. Encourage and ask God to grow you through that and strengthen you and stabilize you through that, knowing that God's got our best interest at heart. God loves you tonight.
He has a plan and a purpose for your life. And can I tell you, though, He also has a plan and a purpose for this trial. Tonight, understand that the trouble you're facing is not what you think. It may be a gift from God to make you better and to change you into His image. Let's pray. Lord, we love You today. We're thankful for Your love for us. I pray tonight You would bless us, help us to be what we should be.